My name's Tim Masters, and I've been aware of these issues for 3 or 4 years now, and I just want to say I've never seen a film that combined all of them in one film, and that's really, thank you for that. It makes a big difference to see it all in one place instead of hearing about this, that, and the other thing, and trying to distill it yourself.
A few weeks ago, 9 of us committed to doing a weekend of long hours of dialogue together in a circle. And I'm greedy for more. And I can imagine being in a circle with you all. I'm touched and grateful to hear the caring and conviction. I'm grateful that you've put your picket pin in, Sharon, and if that's all that happens today, it will have been worth 6 months of our work to have one person so moved, and I'm really grateful. It's scary for us to come out and do this. And as the end of the movie was coming, Joanna Macy writes about when you get scared to reach down and touch the earth and remember that it's by the authority of the planet that we get to say our truth. And so I did that right at the end. Okay, we're going into the circle now, and they may eat us up and spit us out. But by the authority of the planet, I get to stand up and say what my truth is. And that doesn't mean it's the truth or the final truth or the whole truth. It's just my truth. And that's what's always touching to me about being in a circle, is different aspects of the truth get shared. And not only of those present and visible, but of those invisible forces that I also experience being present to help. And I'm really grateful that there are invisible presences around to help, because I don't think we're up to the task on our own. And so thank you also for bringing that up. And Barbara Janeway, who's a very dear and maybe my oldest friend in the world. I really appreciated your comment as well about how initially encountering the information always brings overwhelm and grief. And I would invite those of you who experience depression, one of my other hats is I'm a therapist, and what I've noticed is that when people begin to change their language and instead of talking about depression, talk about grief, sorrow, longing, anger, outrage, fear, that the depression lifts, because depression is really a depression of our truth. And when we start to identify, I'm angry and I'm sad and I'm scared and I'm really grieving, we step into a new place of power. And that's what I thought of as you were talking, Barbara, that, you know, Tim and I have been through, and I've witnessed you go through it. It's like you do go through waves of recognition of what's really going on with me, and there's deep and profound stuff there not to be avoided. It's energizing and empowering, but it takes work to get clear that this isn't depression, this is sadness, or this is anger, or this is legitimate fear for myself, for my children, for the planet. So that's all I have to say right now. Thanks.
Do you have a second round icebreaker, or are we just going around again?
Oh, yeah, well, let's see. It's a little bit after 4, so we've got another hour. Yeah, I did have a plan, and that plan was to say, in the spirit of both dialogue and just seeing what can we do with the next hour. If we just sit with a question for a moment, what is it that would keep me from going deeper with this group? And can I move that out of the way and just go ahead and share a little bit more deeply? We've got an hour here. We can have a great time connecting, and that's part of the healing we need to do. So if there's something that you want to empty out in order to move deeper or just be aware of to move aside, I open that up, and then let's just see. So yeah, the question would be, what is it in each of us that keeps us from going deeper here and now?
You want us to sit with that for a minute first?
We could sit with that for a minute. That's a great idea. Yeah.
So what comes up for me? Just hang on. just an old fear, an old shame of getting caught looking stupid, not having the right answer when I need it. It's a really young story. I really like what you said, Pete, about that you need the feeling aspect, and other people said that too. That the knowledge isn't enough. You know, it took going to the theater and watching Fast Food Nation a couple months ago that nailed in at the feeling level what my brain has known for a long time, which is that I've got no business eating meat that came from an animal that's gone through that torturous system. So I stopped. But I stopped because I saw that movie that made me feel it, and not because of anything that I'd heard or read up till that point. Yeah. So, you know, we did try to make something that produced a feeling, and kind of overwhelm was one of the main things. It's like, yeah, it's overwhelming, and the movie gives me a taste of what it's like to kind of just sit with that overwhelm of looking at the world for a while. And it occurred to us just, I don't know, last time we saw this, I guess, that it came up is that and this wasn't intentional at all, but it's like, okay, you can look at this for an hour and a half and still be walking at the end. And so, you know, I'm still walking, I'm still standing, I'm still going, even after 3.5 years of pushing up against this overwhelm and looking at this the way that I have. That's what it took for me, and if we can do some, if we can help people move through that journey in their own way, but in a similar way, then that would be enough.
I always have this struggle with the optimist and the pessimist. I guess we all do. And it's in a way like grieving, and you hit a height of grieving and of hopelessness, and then you go down into of being less, I don't know which way you put it, but you're grieving and you feel overwhelmed, and then you go down better. But watching this movie, it's a roller coaster. And coming out of it, I sort of feel, I guess I feel, even though I was others have said too, I mean, nothing in there is new in the facts to me, but it is the emotional, the sort of poetic beginning. I think it was very poetic the way you're, is that your voice?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you wrote the dialogue?
Yeah, all voiceover.
Uh-huh. Because, I mean, I love the poetic element of it. I feel that's what touches me, to make that move maybe several steps beyond just the facts. Because sometimes I feel overwhelmed by the facts, and I am living a simple life as much as I possibly can, but I kind of keep myself in a little bubble. Partly that's to protect, I think it's self-preservation. But sometimes that little bubble, I stay in it and I don't think beyond what I know. And so the poetic aspect of the film helps me to go beyond in a kind of safe way, that here's somebody who shares that. And I feel that with you. And there's so many things in it that I thought when I was watching it, oh, I'd like to talk about that, but of course I can't remember them now. Mm-hmm. Because there were so many, possibly the people bring things up, I'd probably remember some things, but I guess I'm just going by the overall feeling more than anything. I agree with Tom that for me it was a little bit overwhelming because of the length also. There was just overload, And as you say, you did that on purpose too. But by the time it was finished, I was exhausted of mentally and physically. Just watching something that long, but there's some wonderful pieces in there that I would like to talk about if I could remember it. I'll have to watch it again.
Take notes.
One thing I've been kind of hung up on lately, or been thinking about. That this dealt with is just how a lot of making, and this is the metaphor of the train, that there very much is a system that we've been living in and part of and contributing to, that's a power system, I like Derek Jensen's metaphor of an abusive family that is similar to that. And I guess just what's coming to my mind, or what I'm fighting with, is just how to how to start to break out of that, or how to, just what's needed to kind of step outside of that type of system, those types of relationships. He was one of the folks talking about, quitting your job, or, just making, or, living outside of the city, or just making choices that really put you in a position where you can do more of the things that you need to do. That's kind of what, maybe that's not so much an impediment to talking with the group, but it feels like, mm-hmm. there are, social structures in place directly preventing us from doing the kind of work that we need to do, right. Social, economic, and all that. And I really found that helpful, and that's what I feel like I'm wrestling with.
I don't particularly feel obstacles to going deeper, but much more for me than looking back at ancestors is looking at my children and grandchildren. And for many, many years I've been struggling with the grief and sadness and anger at the deterioration of this beautiful planet. And the struggle to me is not so much, I don't think, going deeper, but it's discerning you know, where and how to put one's energy, where it will be the most effective, and also to keep a balance of trying to save the planet, but also, we talked in church this morning, of savoring it. Mm. And I take great delight in many essential things in life, and eating, and just visually looking at the sky and listening to the birds now, especially the last week, and trying to balance, and doing work for the planet, trying to have that have an element of joy and fun. In terms of depression, what I would offer to anybody is what helps me a lot is to be involved rather than sit and bemoan the fate of this poor planet, but to be involved with other people, as I think you were coming to in that walk at the end. And you know, the more one can be involved with people who care, the more you're taking action, and action is always, to me, a great antidote to depression. So it's just been a long, long struggle, and the struggle goes on, I guess. And it's just to try to get wiser about what would be the most effective way to use one's limited energy.
Well, the ancestors say that if we had honored the seven generations to come when we first settled this continent from Europe, that we wouldn't be in the situation we're in now. And that one of the things that we're dealing with is the tremendous energy required to go through the evolutionary process we're going through to mature from adolescence to adulthood. And I, speaking as Sharon, say that one of the things I feel a lot of times is I'm going along just fine. You know, I've got it all integrated mentally, emotionally, and I'm facing the challenge and taking action, and then all of a sudden this huge wave of anxiety comes up. The kind of anxiety that feels like it could kill you. And so, and it may stop me dead in my tracks, and the block comes up, and it's like, oh no, what do I have to face? Or what am I going to be expected to do? And so I think one of the things that we need to teach ourselves and each other is coping skills. Understanding that anxiety, but depression puts the lid on the anxiety. And the anxiety is the tremendous energy within us, the tremendous creative energy within us coming up. The first thing that rises to the surface is anxiety, because our whole nervous system is going through a huge shift, and it's an adjustment. But a lot of times we don't get past the anxiety to feel the creative energy that's bursting up and bringing not only the energy, but the insight as to what we need to do. So I feel that I am much more encouraged to cope with the anxiety that's been blocking me as a result of seeing this film. It's like you said, I saw it and I'm still walking and talking. I haven't passed out on the ground, which is a conceivable, you know, result. So I think part of what we have to do is we have to be support people for the people around us who are seeing this and being exposed to it. And maybe some people need to see it in small chunks, you know, and then some people can see it in big, long, you know, segments. I think it's very powerful to see it in a big, long segment. And at the same time, I've also had many, many years of preparation and exposure. I'm trying to think of what it would be like for somebody who hasn't had, you know, like 45 years of preparation and exposure, and they get hit cold, you know. Mm-hmm. They may just numb out to a lot of it, possibly. However, I think we have to all learn how to be therapists and counselors and to ourselves and others in order to integrate the energy coming through. And speaking of the younger generations, I've felt a tremendous amount of grief too, and a kind of alienation. I don't have any children of my own, but I have 20 nieces and nephews, and I've been feeling really alienated from, well, what can I give to them? What can I offer to them except that my generation has destroyed the planet, you know? And actually just recently, because of their own problems of drug addiction and, you know, various other types of problems that they're coping with, they're actually starting to reach out to me. And I hear spirit flowing through me responding to them, because my intellectual brain says, I don't even know what to tell them anymore. How can I give you hope? You might as well keep taking the drugs and kill yourself. Spirit is actually coming through when they ask, help, help, what can I do? And I feel very grateful for that. So it's not, it's a great circle, the ancestors and the children. Our children are our ancestors coming back. And so they're saying, we can do this together. And in closing, I just want to say that I am also very deeply moved and gratified to see Thomas Berry speaking in this film, because I consider Thomas Berry to be one of the most profound spiritual teachers and leaders and healers on the planet. And I have not seen him for several years myself, and I know his health is doing poorly, and he had a stroke, and he is recovering from that, and he's in a rest home now, and he's like in his 90s. And the man is profound. I was so happy to hear him.
So many things come to mind. One, by all this talk of children, like my daughter didn't come today. I mean, one reason being she's got too much homework, but another reason is that ever since she took environmental science in high school, she doesn't really come to these kind of things anymore because she heard so much of it. And she basically said that was a course in how all the different ways we're killing ourselves. But I think of neighborhood as a concept that gets lost in today's world. Even in, I have a nice neighborhood. It was especially a nice neighborhood when all the kids were home. Because everybody knew each other. People roamed from place to place. The kids had much touch with the earth. They're not there anymore. Most of the adults are back inside a lot. The woods that my kids played in the middle of Chapel Hill. Some small houses behind the big ones. There's this huge mansion going up on one section. And I'm thinking, let me see, how many people are probably going to live there? Two or three? And they're going to sell it for something like 8 times what we bought our house for. And there's a lot of people who don't have enough place to live that they can afford even Chapel Hill. And the woods would be gone. And it just seems like the excesses are so much. It's just overwhelming how much excess. I look at our building and, you know, I don't feel the same thing because this feels like a neighborhood. This feels like a place where a lot of people can live. It doesn't feel like this huge amount of space for one or two or three people. No, this is for as many people as we could possibly get in here. And you can look out those windows and you only see nature.
Something.
And then you only see this creativity going on the wall. So it's not just any building, but it's the excess of everything is just pointing to this one building going up in our neighborhood. Maybe Chatham has more of a chance than Chatterfield.
Don't hold your breath.
Example of this is here.
There's something wrong in the system somewhere. And the little house that we got for $50,000 will soon be valued at who knows what. And more people get priced out, and more things get built that are just a waste. And people in Darfur can't eat, sleep, and don't have any shelters. It's a little bit wrong. But I think getting back to a neighborhood, having some feeling of neighborhood, losing that is, I mean, if you have no neighborhood, how can you expect to have it on the other side of the world? How about right here? I think it starts there.